I expect to hear this from you this morning. Say it together. I believe this is the perfected word of God. I desire not only to read it, to know it, but the power of God, and the Spirit live it. Amen. Amen. Well, God knows what it is. Please open up your Bibles to John 16 as we continue to get through this book. I am getting blessed. Jesus is heading to the cross. He's ministering to his disciples, but now he is beginning to say things that are confusing them and concerning them. Obviously, anytime we live with somebody or be with somebody, we love somebody, it's always concerning to us when they start talking about leaving us. And this is what Jesus is beginning to tell his disciples. Not only that, he's beginning to tell them when he leaves that they're not going to be very liked. They're going to be hated and persecuted. And so we've been studying all this, and as we continue, Jesus saying all this, he's telling his disciples in verse 12 of John 16, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. As he is discipling them, he can't get into detail all that's going to take place. He's telling them, I'm going to the cross. They don't quite understand that. He's telling them, I'm turning over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be put to death. They don't want to hear that. They don't like that. They're afraid about that. They're concerned about that. And so Jesus said, I still have so many things to say to you. However, in verse 13, he tells them, when he, that is the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Jesus desires to tell and teach his disciples so much, but he's getting ready to go away. He's going to the cross. He's going to be crucified. He's going to go back to the Father in heaven. But he says, I'm telling you, I'm sending you the Spirit of truth. He is going to continue my teaching within you. He is going to open up my word. He is going to guide you and lead you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. That's very important for me, Pastor Greg, and Pastor Vin, or any teacher, to really understand. We cannot speak on our authority. We speak on the authority of the Word of God. I'm not here to tell you my philosophy or tell you my opinions. I'm here to teach you what the Bible says and to ask you and desiring you to live by the truths of the Word of God. And not to listen to all the philosophy and the things in the world. I don't care how religious they sound. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, then be very careful. Let the Bible be your light to your path, a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Amen? The Word of God is the one that should direct us and guide us. And this is what Jesus is telling his disciples. You're going to be persecuted by religious leaders that the community highly respects and listens to. And now but you're coming into a new wine, if you will, with new wineskins, and you're presenting a different whole doctrine about the Bible. They're not going to like it. You're going to be threatening their orthodox ways. You're going to be threatening their very religious or Catholicism, whatever it would be. And this is why many of us live in a world and a society today that doesn't like what we say, because when we start speaking the absolute truth, they don't want to hear that. And this is why, obviously, you're not going to be liked. And you're going to have people, of course, the devil will want you to be intimidated, and he'll want you to be scared. He doesn't want you to speak truth out. But you have the power of God in you. Brothers and sisters, you've got God's third person of the Godhead dwelling in you. And because of him, Christ abides in you. And because of him, the Father knows you. I mean, wow. Who can be on your side but the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Goodness. But he's not going to speak, but he will tell you things to come. See, we read in 2 Peter 3:18, it encourages us that we should grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So how do we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, you know, just reading the Bible doesn't completely do that. Many people say, well, I'm not going to grow because I just read the Bible. There are many religious organizations and pastors that read and study the Bible and are still teaching in error. They're still teaching false doctrine. You know, just doesn't take much. When you're listening to somebody in the Bible, you know, if you just see a little bit of leaven in their teaching, then their teaching is infected. Amen? I don't care if they, amen? I don't care if they teach 80% good doctrine. If they got 20% of false doctrine, it's not true doctrine. We need to understand that. When you go to any church or any radio program or TV program, let it be the Word of God and that only. Obviously, Him interpreting it, there's three aspects, you know, that He interprets it. You know, you need to read it, you need to understand it, but you also need that application in our lives. That's what the Word does for us. It gives us, through the Holy Spirit, insight how we live our life for God. And so reading the Bible is very important, but it's not the complete answer. And please listen, it is the Holy Spirit that must be our teacher as we read the Word of God. Now, God has raised me and Pastor Greg up and Vince and pastors because the Word of God says He'll raise up apostles and teachers and evangelists and so forth. We have our ministry to equip the saints for ministry. My here is to teach you, to prepare you, and pray to encourage you to get involved in God's work, whatever that way would be. And we have people that do that right now. I mean, they come and they sweep the floor, they pair the coffee for you, they get the bulletins for you. Some teach, some have ministries. I thank God for every one of them. That as a corporate body, we should all be working together for the kingdom of God and being used in whatever state God would allow you to be used for His kingdom. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And it is He that will lead and guide you into all truth. You know, when you sit down over your Bible, let me just ask you, and study the Word, do you lift up your heart to God, the Holy Spirit, and do you pray? I mean, the Holy Spirit, please, He is the one that interprets the Word for me and reveals the truth. And so when I open up the Bible, when you open up the Bible, I think what you need to do is you need to ask God, would He really interpret the Word? Would you open up your truths for me? Many people open up the Bible like they're opening up a Reader's Digest. You know, you just open up and start reading. And when you do that, believe me, you can get your own philosophy. This is why I tell people, is when you get in a little small group, and they go, well, we're going to read the Bible, we're going to pass the Bible around, and we're going to have somebody just read a scripture, and we're going to say, so what do you think that scripture means? That's dangerous. You're asking anybody that really hasn't studied, really hasn't done any work on the culture, the background, who they're teaching, and you say, tell me what that verse means. Well, they may share a little bit what it means, but if somebody's not there rightly dividing the Word of truth, overseeing that, to make sure what they say is right, you can embellish on that. They say, go, very good, you're right, that's exactly what it's saying. And because of that, blah, blah. But some people can interpret it very wrong. And so you've got to be very careful, even small groups. And so this is why we always pray. God, open up. I mean, when I pray, before we even get going, we pray, Lord, let your Spirit move. Let them have ears to hear what you would say, Holy Spirit. And you need to do that in your home. When you open up the Bible, you ask God's Holy Spirit, that He has given God's Spirit all of the Father to the Spirit, that He can reveal it to us. Because it's His joy to open up the Word. It's just joy for the Spirit to lead us in the truth. You know, and He's not working independently of the Scriptures, but He opens up the truth as He sees it or reveals it from the Father in Scripture. You know, Christian books are wonderful, and I read a lot of them. There is nothing like the Bible. The Bible is priority in your life. Next to anything, read the Bible, trust the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to interpret something that you're reading. Remember, He will not speak on His own authority. Whatever He hears from the Father, from the Lord, He will speak. And He tells us things to come. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the world right now is wondering, what is the future beholding? Are we going to still be here? You know, are the ice cubes are melting over there in Alaska. and the white bears, they're not getting their food, and the birds are going to fly in there. They're trying to give you all this stuff of why we have this weather, and now the weather's changing because of this. And now I know what's going to happen in the future. Do you know? You know why you know? Because the Word of God tells us what's going to happen, right? He told us already that the climate's going to change. He told us signs in the heavens are going to happen. He told us famine's going to come. He told us the diseases, uncurable diseases are going to come. He told us earthquakes are going to come. You know, to the world, it's like, wow, I can't believe what we're having here. And enough, such unusual weather. I'm like, well, I could have told you, you know, the Bible, the weatherman ought to read what the Bible says. It'd probably get more accurate, really. When the entire world is wondering what the future has in store, let me tell you, the man and woman of God knows his Bible, can look ahead and know just what is coming. He knows that all evil will be put down when Jesus returns to reign over the universe. When we finally get a man in office that knows what he's doing. Amen? Jesus Christ, the government will be upon his shoulders and he will reign. I vote for Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, we're going to have to vote for somebody in the office, you know. We just got to take one or the other. But thank God, you know, that when Jesus steps down, he's not even going to ask you to vote. He's just going to say, I'm the man. But, you know, when we reign with him, we're going to be reigning with him. You know, it's kind of like the president. You know, he elects certain people for his office. And so the Lord says, I elect all of you to reign over here on the earth for me. I'm looking at you all and thinking, oh my God, they're all going to reign. Lord, it's going to be a mess. He goes, no, it won't be. But they're going to be perfected. They're going to know truly what wisdom is and knowledge. You know, oh, I can't wait. Anyways, he's going to reign in this universe and righteousness will cover the earth, the word says, as the water covers the sea. His righteousness, and he knows what will take place because we know, I mean, because he proclaimed it in his word. Not only that, but we need to understand that the special mission of the Spirit of God is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 14, he will glorify me, Jesus said. He is not here to glorify himself, the Holy Spirit. He's here to glorify Jesus Christ. And for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That's how God's Spirit, this is what God's Spirit does. God's Spirit is not here to have a Holy Spirit service. You understand that? There's people out there in the radio and TV, the whole service is about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the anointing, the empowering, the anointing. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to be glorified. He's only here to glorify Jesus Christ. And how does he do that? Through you. How you live, how you act. What you say, how you present yourself. The Spirit's in you. You are the temple of God. Amen? Where you go is holy ground. Because God is with you everywhere. So represent him in a holy manner. And so let the Spirit do its work. Don't grieve the Spirit by our actions and the way we act. Don't hinder the Spirit by your fear and intimidation to go out and do something. Trust the Spirit that dwells in you to empower you to speak the word of God, to live the word of God, and to glorify Jesus Christ in our lives. That's what he says he is here to do. In Ephesians 1:17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father in heaven, the Father of glory, that he may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened that you may know, just know, without certain, you may know what is the hope of God's calling and what is the riches of the glory of Jesus' inheritance in the saints? We get all that through the God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is going to give you wisdom when you ask for it. He's going to give you a revelation of the knowledge of God. This is why when you read the Word, it's important to ask God to open up your mind and open up your ears to hear what the Spirit would say. How many of you get confused reading Revelations? It can be very challenging, right? But how many of you know, realize that whole book, as this, you know, the world wants you to, oh, you can't read it, don't read it. Believe me, read it. You'll get blessed by it, the Bible says. But the thing is, you know, we start reading it, but it's God's Spirit now, because as you sit under what God raises up, he says, I have raised up apostles and teachers and evangelists and so forth. And as you raise up teachers, that's when you come in to learn. And so the pastor or the teacher, he does his homework and his research, and he can begin now, through God's Holy Spirit, teach you the simplicity of Revelation. Because the bottom line, Revelation is the book of revealing of Jesus Christ, that he is God. Revelation reveals that he is the one that's going to judge the earth. He is the one that's going to save the Jews. He is the one that's going to bring in the reign, the millennium. And he is the one that's going to come and conquer the devil and cast him away and all the unrighteousness. And he's the one that's setting us up to come in riding on horses. Giddy up, ride horses, man. And we're coming in with glory with God and reigning with him forever. That's what that book's all about. No distinction. Jesus is God. Now, people don't want to hear that. Some people got in my services and walked out because I don't believe Jesus is God. My heart grieves for that person. Because to realize that the God of the universe loves us and dwells within us is amazing as it is. And he does all this, we read in Ephesians, the understanding, be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling for you. What is the riches of the glory of his righteousness in the saints? That's us. So we will glorify, or so he, that is the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, what is Jesus? Well, in verse 15, it says, all things the Father has given is mine. All that the God of the universe, the Father, he's given it to Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the Holy Spirit now, and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to take all that is mine, all the mysteries of the kingdom of God, all the mysteries of our God. He goes, they're mine now, and I'm declaring it to you. Isn't that awesome? Now we have an understanding. Do we have trouble? The world has trouble when the Bible says that God, he created everything, right? Hello? So when the Bible said to the world, when someone reads, God stopped the sun, what do you think the world's going to say? Well, that's a great science fiction book you got there. Because no one stops the sun. And then what do? Well, they go into the physical, mental mind of the world and try to logically tell you, if the sun stops, let me tell you what happens. But see, if God stops the sun, he arranges everything. I mean, God stopped the sun. Amen? The sun didn't go down during the battle. I mean, you know, we're just... imagine a couple going, let's just watch the sunset. It's 10 at night. I mean, this is God, right? Somebody goes, what is the sundial? Well, you said 10 to 1, but it went back. How did it go back? Sun can't go backwards. But with God, he can do it. See, with God, nothing's impossible. And this is what he's saying. He wants you to get it. He wants to let you be revealed. All that is the Father, all that is mine, I'm declaring it to you. And the Holy Spirit will give you all the revelations of the mysteries of God. That we can live a life confident in our Lord in the midst of a world of turmoil. And, you know, just uncertainty. And so we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit has come to complete the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at the New Testament, we see how the Holy Spirit, since the book of Acts, has now breathed in to the Apostle Paul, and Apostle Peter, and Timothy and so forth, how God breathed in, and then the epistles came. And they glorified Jesus Christ. And they showed him as the head of the church, as we read in Ephesians. It speaks of his coming again to establish his kingdom. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, it speaks about the unfolding of the person of Jesus Christ in his ministry in the book of Revelation. So we see, Jesus says, I have so much to declare to you, but I can't give it to you all now, and you won't endure it. But when the Spirit comes, now here we got the Bible right in our hands. And now we know the understanding. Before, Daniel was a book of mystery. But now we see Daniel's fulfilling of prophecy. Ezekiel 38 and 39, we read that and go, what is that? Now we know it speaks about Russia and Magog and coming down to invade Israel and talk about the armies getting ready to come. And of course, we see that taking place today. Now we have an understanding because now God's revealing that to us now. we see all the earthquakes and everything, we just go, well, I don't know what to tell you, man, but God's coming closer. I mean, when there's an earthquake, I don't want you to misunderstand it. You know, we have an earthquake, I don't go, whoopee-doo, check it out, shake it, baby. I'm like, I get in the stance because right at that moment, I don't know what to do. Right? That's what we all do. Is it going to last? Should I get under the table? Should I grab my wife? You know, by then it stops, right? And we're like, now, God help us. We have an earthquake. Oh, well. One of these days, it won't stop, huh? Is it just one? Well, let's watch a program to assure you. But, oh, God, I'm so thankful because such is the peace and the rest I can have in God in a world of turmoil. Because I know God is coming to judge. And I know God is coming to take his church. And so what I need to be concerned about is getting the gospel out to the people that are not saved to keep them from going to eternal torment. So Jesus says here, telling his disciples, they're not confused enough. Look what he says. Well, a little while, you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Now, can you imagine the discourse the disciples are hearing this? You know, of course, this is referring to Jesus. The disciples will not see him again until they go to heaven. But they don't understand this. They're unable to figure out what Jesus was saying. You know, this is so typical when people are confused. They always get in their little groups. And this is what they did. They gathered together, you know. They're listening to Jesus. They're looking at each other. What are you talking about? What do you think he's talking about? I thought he was going to be the Messiah. He's talking about going away. I don't get it. Look at what they did. Then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and he will not see me. And then again, a little while, and then he will see me. And because I go to the Father. And then he said, therefore, what is that he says? A little while. Sound like Italians. I don't get it, man. What are you doing? What are they doing, David, with the hands? I don't get it. What are you doing? Why? He's coming. He's not coming. He's going. He's Father. He's not coming. Here's the problem. They were confused, discussing it about themselves. The thing is that they were talking to each other about what Jesus says when they should have been talking to who? Jesus. Right? Jesus is over there. I'm a pastor, right? Don't get in a group and talk about me. Right? I'm right here. You know, you're over there. I don't get it. What does the pastor mean over there? I don't agree with the pastor. You agree with the pastor? I'm like, why don't you come over here? I'll tell you what I say. This is why churches have splits, because you guys get in your little groups. I don't think what the pastor said, I don't think you should do that. Well, I think you should do that. I don't think you should do that. Well, I think you should do that. They go, instead of you guys, get some wisdom. Come and talk to the pastor. You know what I mean? You won't see my vampire teach. You won't see horns. You just see the pastor. Ask me. Pastor, we don't understand. See, this is what the disciples, they're one, or actually, did you leave? I don't know. And Jesus standing up to the side going, wow, this is a tough group to teach. Look at verse 19. Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. And then he said to him, why are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. See, they wanted to. What is it with authority, with the body of Christ? I mean, people are afraid of pastors. I don't know what it is. We are nobody special. You know, people walk by and they go, Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie, he's right over there, Greg Laurie. Go say hi. I ain't gonna go say hi to Greg Laurie. He puts his pants on the same way I do. He taught, he's okay, he's a man. Right? Big one, you know, could you go tell Betty to come in my office?
Hey, Betty, the pastor wants you in his office.
What does he want?
I don't know. Better go.
In his office, really? What did I do? I don't think I did anything wrong. I didn't talk about him. I don't. You go through all this thing. Who are we? We're just pastors. We're men. Come and talk to us, please. Don't cause discord. You know, I'm not like Jesus. I don't have that intelligence to say, you know, I know they want to talk to me. Come over here. Come and talk to me. Unless I hear you talking about I won't be so gentle like Jesus. What do you think? Keep in mind the disciples really, they were listening to this discourse about going away. You know, they left everything to follow Jesus. You know, they left their friends, their homes, their businesses, their positions. They left everything to follow Jesus Christ. And now, Jesus is talking about leaving them. Of course they're going to be confused and disturbed and, you know, Christ talking about going away. In reality, you know, Jesus is really telling them, it's important because I'm going away, you will see me again. If I don't go away, this won't take place. The Spirit won't come. Salvation won't take place. You know, there's a lot of things. They don't understand all that right now. That's why he says, I got so much to teach you, but you can't bear it right now. But I'm telling you the truth. The Spirit will come. He'll guide you in all truth, and he'll ease your mind about the things of me. You know? And so, but really, we see a threefold meaning here when he talks about going away and coming back. First, they would see him again and sure. After the resurrection from the dead, 40 days before he ascends to his Father, they will see him. They'll be filled with joy. It's sorrowful, grievous, but they'll be filled with joy. The second thing, they would see him, another four, when the Spirit comes and dwells in us, you know, they would exchange physical sight for spiritual sight, which we see in 2 Corinthians 5. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home, in this body, obviously we're absent in the presence of the Lord. So then, we walk by faith and not by sight. Many of us know Jesus is alive. We see Jesus working in our lives. This is how we see Jesus spiritually. You know, I see Jesus working in my daughter's Sunday. I see the Spirit of God working in all of you, and many of you here. And so that's the second fold. And the third, of course, is when we pass from this life into eternity, we will see Jesus in person in our glorified bodies. 2 Corinthians 5:8 again. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body is what? Isn't that glorious? Now, you can't just go to God anyway. You have to have the body God has created for you, that new body. We are decaying. How many of you believe right now you're corruptible? This is some generation here, and God will help you. How many realize right now in your body you're just mortal? Right? You're going to die. I mean, I got preachers I hear tell people, you don't ever have to get sick if you have true faith. I'm just waiting for that day to see him in the hospital. And what happened? Where's your faith, buddy? You know, the reality is this faith reality. From birth, we begin to decay. Amen? You young people right now, your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, enjoy your tight skin. Look at me. If you start hitting 45, 50, it's coming. I'll guarantee you, as the sun goes up and down, it's coming. You guys, man, at the gym, I see these young guys, they're buffed up, got the V, and they got their muscles, you know, and I look at my belly, and I can, Lord, they just don't know what they're going through. They're working out to look good and puff, man, and impress girls, you know, they walk around like this, they even wear tight shirts and roll them up. I try, I do that. I go to the gym, I have a towel, I try to cover myself. But you know what? The reality is, I understand this is the world, and because of sin, the whole world's a mess. But I have a hope of a new heaven and new earth. I have a hope of a new body. And look at 1 Corinthians 15. It's kind of long. Let's just read it. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. It doesn't. It's not inherited. It doesn't by religion anything. It's only through Jesus Christ. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, when he says we should all sleep, of course he's talking about we should not all die. He's talking about just before the rapture. Some people have already gone to sleep. They died. Their spirits in heaven, their bodies, if you will, is like sleeping. You know. And then some of us won't even die. When rapture comes, amen, we'll be snatched away. That's what he's talking about here. So you get a little context. You know, it doesn't have, you know, behold, I tell you, mystery, we're not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump will sound, and the dead will rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Blink your eye. Blink your eye. That's how quick you're going to be in your new body. All right? So be very careful when you're waving your finger at your wife, because the Lord might come that day. And you don't want to be waving your finger at Jesus Christ. Right? You better listen to me. Oh, my God, Jesus Christ. In a moment, twinkle your eye. Isn't it exciting to wait for that? We could be talking right now. Boom! We could be in heaven. I mean, any time. God can come any time, right now. Aren't we excited? And you're probably saying, Jim's just preaching so long, I wish he would come right now. That would be wonderful. But I pray every one of us will be gone. My concern is who will be left if you're sitting here today without Jesus Christ. But in a moment, I love that, for this corruptible must put incorruption. So this corrupting body is going to put incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Haiti, where's your victory? We need this attitude right now. I mean, we're living and we get difficult times. We got to start saying, oh, you know what, death, I don't care what it is. I might be ill right now. I might be sick right now, but you got no victory over me. Hades, hell, I'm not going. If I go die, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And the sting of death, even though death, I'll never, my last breath will be in going to heaven. Strength to sin is law. But I thank be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice I highlighted 58. You should highlight that in your Bible. This is the attitude. Therefore, because of this, my beloved brethren, I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be immovable. I'm always standing and abiding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? Okay, get that attitude. Okay, I tried. So today, believers see Jesus through the spirit of teaching of the word, you know, and someday we'll see him in his presence. Most assuredly, verse 20, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, she sorrows because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that is a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice in the joy no one will take from you. So he gives us the illustration of a woman having a baby. Now, many of you ladies here, you can relate to this, right? When you're in labor, right? I don't see many women in labor dancing. Matter of fact, I don't see them just like, oh, this is so wonderful. I just love it. I just love it. Mostly I hear them screaming. My wife, when she had my children, she never screamed. But boy, could she squeeze my hand. And she used to hump me. You know, and so it's amazing. I mean, the labor pains that are coming, this is like it. Right now we're living in a world full of labor pain, full of sorrows and anguish and so forth. You know, but all this will be wiped away when we're in the glory and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God bless you women. I mean, my wife had, I know what it's like. I could never feel what it is to have a baby. But seeing my wife have one, I don't want to ever feel what it is like having a baby. And what amazes to me, you women, this is why I think some of you women, you know, why God created you a little interesting. Because you have one baby, and she's holding that looking thing. Don't talk about labor right now. I might be able to take this. But then my wife has all that, and she goes, oh, we should have 2 or 3 more. You know, if I went through that, 1 would be enough. But you women, oh, I want 4. I want 6. God bless you. But what an illustration for us to grab hold of, to realize God is trying to tell his disciples and us, you will go through much pain and labor and anger, but stay the course, hold fast. The women, they stay the course of having that baby. They'll do what they got to do to get that through, to get through that. But all the joy, when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes. But if it be through any way he takes us, rapture, physical, or whatever, that be in his, and that's what he's telling the disciples, you're going to be filled, and no one will ever again be able to take that joy away. Because we'll be in our eternal bodies. And so in that day, we said to close up here, he said, you ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. So after his departure, once again he's talking about when he's going away, you know, now when he's going away, he's departing, he's sending the Holy Spirit. And believers will no longer be able to ask Jesus. The disciples can't ask him physically. They ask a question. But through the Holy Spirit, they're going to be able to ask Jesus to the Father any question they want. And he's encouraging, when that takes place, seek me. I mean, do you realize, brothers and sisters, what an honor and a privilege it is to come to God of creation in the name of his only begotten Son that died for us, you know, and to ask him in prayer? To come to prayer, and every one of us, and I don't exempt myself, we lack in this area of prayer. We say simple prayers, short prayers. None of us, I don't think, have a labor in prayer. But what a privilege it is to seek to the Father. In the close in Hebrews 4:12, it says this, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So what is the word of God? Who is that? Jesus, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So remember, when you read this verse right here, read Jesus into it. And so we say, Jesus of God, Jesus is living, Jesus is powerful, Jesus is sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus pierces even to the division of our soul and spirit. Now look how close he says, he even Jesus of the joints and marrow. You can't even separate those two really physically. And it is a discernment. Jesus is a discernment of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows us more than you can realize. And there is no creature hidden from Jesus' sight. That is the word of God here. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him, Jesus, to whom we must give an account. Amen? So this morning we're going to close with communion. And we've got some good stuff here. And as we are passing up the bread and the cup, I'm asking you to hold it. We'll partake it together. The worship team, come forward. They're going to do us some worship at this time. And spend time just seeking God this morning. Just spend some time, whatever it is, for your life, for your family, for your loved ones, whatever. And just pray to God through the power of the Holy Spirit and get ministered to. And then I will pray. And we'll partake together. So hold the cup and the bread in your hands and just pray, spend some time, either worship and sing, or you can just bow your head and seek your Lord during this time. Amen? Okay.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, is more, for grace is found, is where you are. in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh. I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need.
So thankful, dear Lord, you give us the privilege to do this. May you ask the disciples as well as us to remember your love by examining and knowing that your body was given for us and your blood was poured out for us. Father, we ask you to forgive us for our shortcomings, our sins, our iniquities. Lord, the things we do even unconsciously, even sometimes our dreams, dear Father, could be ungodly. We just ask that you would forgive us. Wash and cleanse us, dear Father. Renew us this morning as we lay everything before your throne. That you would rekindle our spirit. You would fill us with the power to live for you. And dear Father, that we would be worthy of the Master's use. In any context, dear Father, would you use us? Help us to be willing vessels, cleansed by the Lamb, to be used for the King. And dear Father, we just pray this morning, what a heart of thanks for all you've done for us. We long to see your face. Until then, through your power, keep us faithful. This we pray in Jesus' name. And we all agree and say, amen. Amen. Let's take it together. Thank you, Lord. When we all stand, just want to remind you, if you haven't